take you out the back and into where they have children's church. The rest of you, telling you where to turn in your Bibles. I would say probably the best place to turn to start is Deuteronomy 29, is where we'll eventually get to. We are in a time where God has led me to teach based on a topic, and the topic is hearing God. It is something that has been on my heart for a while, has been something that I have been concerned that I would do with a more consistently hearing God, consistently seeking Him so that I may hear Him. And then also, I think a lot of Christians struggle with this whole topic and struggle with, okay, how do I hear God? Is this something just ethereal that happens? Is there any guidelines? Is there anything to kind of follow in order to try to know what it means to hear God and walk with Him? And then the other thing that's really important is realizing that there's a lot of Christians who say, well, I may have never heard God speak. And so that's a struggle for them. And then the final thing is this. When I began to deal with this, I realized that a lot of what I had done over the years involved a couple of passages of Scripture and honestly, a lot of testimonies. And I thought that you know, it's nice to hear the testimonies, but it's dangerous when you have a doctrine or a teaching that is flowing more from testimony than it is flowing from Scripture. And so it was my desire to begin to bury myself in the Scriptures and to find out what the Word of God has to say about what it means to hear God. And so last week we dealt with hearing God. Is it even possible to hear God? And then this week with part two, we're going to deal with the whole idea of having ears to hear. Let me begin with hearing and a story. At a wedding reception, a man saw someone standing on a sidewalk leading up to his home. He was looking intently at the plants and the bushes that lined the sidewalk on either side. Curious as to what was happening, the father of the bride walked up to him and said, what's up? The father of the bride figured, since he was one of the groomsmen, that he was planning something goofy or crazy for the couple when they had departed, and he kind of wanted to make sure they didn't, like, destroy their vehicle. So the young man said to the father of the groom, he said, did you know that you have 18 different kinds of crickets in the plants along the sidewalk? Somewhat startled by the response he could have never imagined, the father of the bride tried to remember if he had ever even heard a cricket in the front yard. Evidently, he had at least 18 different kinds of them, according to this young man. But then he began to wonder how in the world this guy knew this. After some conversation, he found out that the groomsman was a graduate student in entomology at the University of Florida. Wow, that's just going badly. Let me start that over again. He learned that the groomsman was a graduate student in entomology at the University of Florida. He had learned to distinguish over, get this, 200 different kinds of cricket calls with his natural ear. Imagine learning to listen to crickets. The father of the bride in that moment suddenly understood that a person learns to hear and that a hearing ear can be developed. He also realized that there were many sounds he was not hearing. And then one day, as he was meeting with God during his quiet time and read the following verse, he saw that Jesus made this statement, and he had great need of learning to hear better when he read, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So the basic premise of Jesus in that statement, and by the way, that statement is made 15 different times in the New Testament. The basic premise is some have ears to hear. The basic choice is choosing to use those ears to actually hear something. Or in this case, hear someone, God. Now, we know that hearing is a basic physical reality. A baby, most often, in fact, the vast majority of the time, a baby is born with a physical ability to hear, but that ability to hear must be developed to understand what is being heard. The capacity is there to hear, to distinguish, and to understand, but that must be developed so that baby can. But then he began to, then we need to realize this, hearing is a basic spiritual reality as well. We are born again and we receive the ability to hear God. That ability must be developed so that we can discern God and understand what God is saying to us. Literally, we need to follow the statement, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But we come to the conclusion, how does this work? Well, first of all, we need to look at the idea of God giving certain ones ears to hear. And so let's take a look at this. Given an ear to hear. And we're in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 2 through 6. Moses summoned all Israel and he said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders. Yet to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God." And so, here's what's going on in this passage. God had delivered Israel from Egypt. He had delivered them out of slavery. There was no chance they were ever going to get out of there on their own. And yet God came with a mighty hand and with a strong arm and he delivered them. They saw signs. They saw God's wonders. They saw water turned into blood. They saw plagues, 10 different plagues, which by the way addressed the 10 major gods of Egypt, and kind of God just kind of did an in-your-face thing with all of their gods, having what their gods were supposed to control absolutely destroy the land that was before them. But even though they had been through all this, even though they had seen the Red Sea parted and they walked through on dry land and the Egyptians were crushed in the aftermath of that water coming back on them, they still did not have, according to God, a heart to know, eyes to see, or, and we need to hear this, ears to hear. It was as if, folks, they were spiritually dead, because they were. You see, we have a physical ability to hear, but we do not have the ability to hear spiritually until we are born again, until God gives us life, and until God restores to us our ability to be able to hear in the spiritual realm and hear spiritual things from Him. The principle is this: what was hidden in the Old Testament in type is revealed in the New Testament in Christ. We read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 that says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and the uncircumcision of us," and just talks about all these things about them being dead. But God, after talking about it, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up together with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. You have this whole idea of God granting us. In fact, the whole truth that God gives us spiritual life at the moment of our salvation. We are born again. We are given new eyes, new heart, new ears, new abilities inherent with that spiritual life. God's gift of spiritual life contains the ability to hear in and from the spiritual world, ears to hear. Without this ability, saints, without God granting us this by His grace, it is impossible. Without this ability, communion, meditation, and hearing our Heavenly Father and reading His Word and actually hearing what God says rather than reading a religious text, without God granting us this at our salvation, these things are impossible. It is a gift of His grace that we can hear at all. And it is a glorious thing when He allows us to be able to hear. Now, one of the second things I wanted to go into when in dealing with this having ears to hear is that Israel was given training opportunities to hear, and yet we see those training opportunities paralleled in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to be there a lot this morning, okay? So there is a situation going on in Deuteronomy 8 where God is speaking to his people. Moses is reminding them of what God has done. And then there's this interesting passage dealing with God's gracious dealings with the people of Israel. And yet the whole purpose of it was that Israel might realize that they need to respond to what God has said and to what God will say in the future. And so we take a look at this whole idea of given training opportunities to hear. And saints, we need to realize this. We too have these exact same training opportunities if we will learn to hear God in the midst of it. Number one, we are given God's word to obey. And I call it Basic Hearing 101. It says, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do so that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Hearing God 101. God gave us his word. God gave us his commandments. If we want to hear God, we first need to acknowledge that those commandments are true. And as we read them and as we hear them, when we hear the very simple things of God that are made known to us, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and just these things like this, we need to realize that hearing God means that we acknowledge that this is God's way for us and we obey and we walk in those things. We simply make a habit of hearing the word of God and then obeying the word that we hear. That is the first step if you want to build a life of hearing God, is recognizing that when the Bible speaks, God is speaking. It is his authoritative word. It is not to be trifled with. We can't switch it around to our own desires or our own wants without it being very, very damaging to us. Now, what's fascinating is this is also how God taught his son. In Luke 4:16, you can kind of write that down there. It says, and he came to Nazareth, meaning Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. It was the custom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was customary. The word there has the idea that it was his very, very ingrained habit. This is what he did. This is how Jesus lived his life. It gives us a view, a little bit of a picture window view into the life of Jesus prior to his ministry. And here's what we get as a picture. It was his custom to go to the synagogue. And actually, as you know, if Jesus reads the word of God, it's got to sound pretty awesome, right? You know? And so here's the thing. He is there, and as was his custom, he took the word of God and he read it. But saints, I want you to know it was his custom to sit down and listen as well. Jesus made a habit of hearing the word of God. Let me say this, saints. If that was the Son of God's response, should it not be ours? If we want to hear God, it needs to be a regular habit in our lives that we are placing ourselves in moments and times where we will hear the word of God, where there are times we will read the word of God, and where we are getting a steady diet of the word of God. And let me say this, it's so vital. If you want to hear God, don't sit there and start getting quiet and kind of humming or whatever it is that you think you're going to do to hear God. Read his word. Because when you do, you are hearing God. And if we ignore that, I truly believe he will say very, very little to us if we're not even going to obey the word that he set right in front of us. Second thing we see in this passage is they were given the opportunity to hear through experiencing humbling need. Look at verse 2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The training was first God gave him his word, and he said, here's my word, read it. You will be able to grasp it and understand it and do it. That's the first step. That's 101. If you're not doing that, go back to 101. If you're not experiencing God's speak, go back to 101. By the way, you might go back to before 101 and make sure that you're born again. Make sure that you actually know the Lord Jesus Christ and have been saved, and that your old heart has been taken out of you, and God has granted you a new heart, and God has granted you eyes to see and ears to hear what he's doing. But then secondly, it's this, get in the word. And then here we have thirdly, there are going to be, God is going to engineer. And I believe if you are truly one of his, these things are going to happen. He is going to allow situations in your life that will manifest in your life, in you, humbling need, where you need to cry out to God for your provision. And where you need to cry out to God so that God will meet that humbling need that is going on in your life. By the way, it says God led you into the wilderness that he might, one, humble you. Because, by the way, we're all naturally arrogant, at least toward God. And then, two, that he might test us. Now, he's testing us so that to know what is in our heart, whether we would keep his commandments or not. Let me say this. God is omniscient. He already knew. What he's doing is he's testing us so that we can see whether we're going to obey him or not. And then we can begin to respond, because God wants a relationship, and in that relationship, he wants us to listen. And he wants us to listen with a mindset to hear and with a mindset to do what he says. Now, saints, by the way, this is how God taught his son. Matthew 4, 1 through 4 has this passage. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. By the way, that may sound crazy to a lot of you, but here's the thing. Medically, after about 5 or 6 days, when you haven't eaten and all you've done is drink water, your stomach shuts off. And then your body begins to digest the fat that's throughout your body. And then after about 40 days, they say medically, what happens is you digest all the fats in your body. Granted, I could probably live longer than that, but we're not going to go into that, okay? But after it's digested all the fat, at that time, it will turn your stomach back on, and at that point, your stomach will begin digesting itself. And from what I've read, because I've not done a 40-day fast without anything but water, they say the hunger is mind-numbing. It is painful. It is like drive you insane kind of hunger. And so Jesus is sitting here, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then he became hungry. And if there was ever an understatement, that's the understatement of the world. So Jesus is fearing a gnawing, mind-numbing, almost maddening hunger when the devil comes up to him and says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Jesus, you got the power. Just command the stones to become bread. You got all the bread you want to eat. And then Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you know that God allowed his son to experience humbling situations of need? Humbling situations of need that he could have reached into his own divinity and solved on his own, and yet he knew it was not the will of his father to do that, but simply to live in obedience to his father. And so when Jesus is tempted by the devil to reach in and meet his own need according to his own desire, he is led not to do that by the Spirit of God, and instead he quotes the very passage in Deuteronomy 8 where God is saying to his people, here was your training ground. Here was the ground that you might learn to hear me and might learn to walk with me. And Jesus went through humbling, difficult, trying need. And yet Jesus learned from that need and actually quoted to the devil, "I don't live by doing my own thing. I live with every word," and I love the Greek and the Hebrew, the word that's currently coming out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, that does not mean God's speaking brand new words all the time. It just means this. We need to be so intimate in our relationship with God that we're hearing the next thing that he's saying to us. Yesterday's truth is not enough for today's obedience. Try to remember that. I try to, and I forget sometimes. I need today's truth to deal with today's obedience. I love the fact that God gave me grace yesterday to walk through life and to do the things that I needed to do. But you know what? I want to wake up this morning realizing that there are things out there that may not be a carbon copy of yesterday. And so maybe it would be wise for me to listen to my Father. I know that's what Jesus said. So we go to the next one. Give an opportunity to hear through remembering God's goodness. Basic hearing 401. Okay? No, I'm sorry. I missed 301, didn't I? Okay. Give an opportunity to hear through discipline is the next one. Okay? And that's basic hearing 301. Verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. One of the things that God does is God gives us an opportunity to hear him through his word. He gives it to us that we would read it and that we would obey it. But then God brings humbling need in our lives and desires for us to cry out to him and say, God, how is it that you, my Father, want to help meet this need today as I listen and do what you say? Then there's the third, and that's this, that there's discipline. Do you realize that probably the Israelites weren't getting day by day that their sandals weren't wearing out, that their clothes weren't wearing out? Any of you got some clothes from 40 years ago that you've been wearing almost daily? No, you don't. You know why? Because they'd be rags. Especially your shoes. Especially if you're walking through a wilderness, i.e. desert, okay? And if you've ever been to Israel, man, that is some rough ground to walk on. And yet 40 years, there was nothing. Their clothes didn't wear out. Walk around a desert for 40 years. See if your foot ever swells on a day. My foot swells. Anyway, if I walk 20 minutes, you know, I go out and I try to walk in my neighborhood, and I went out with Sherry the other night, and we were walking, and she walked way faster than I do, so she was dragging me along with her. And we got home, and it had been about, what, I don't know, 20, 30, 35 minutes maybe or whatever. And I went in, kind of sat down, and then I got back up, and I could tell my feet had swollen, and I could feel it. Now, can you imagine being in a desert in sandal and your foot doesn't swell? God's doing something to care for you. God's taking care of you in the midst of having to wander through a desert for 40 years. And then it says, but you need to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you. That doesn't mean that God was spanking them or punishing them. It was that God was putting them into disciplines and ways that they should live because it's best for them. It's the same way when we discipline our children. It's the same way when you study any subject. It's called the discipline of biology, the discipline of a foreign language, the discipline. You submit yourself to a straightened path where you're going to seek to walk through that, and the discipline of it grants you learning and grants you a blessing. God said, you are being disciplined by the Lord just as he disciplines a son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and fear him. Well, that's great. Well, how did God teach his son? I don't know. Take a look at Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save his soul from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Christ understood what it meant to learn through the process of discipline, to learn through the process of having your life at times narrowed by God for his purposes. Now, by the way, the scriptures say that to the man who loves God, it's a broad path. It's a wonderful path to walk on. But the world looks at it as such a narrow, straighted way. But all God's trying to do is deliver us from sin and deliver us from the destruction of our own flesh and our own desires. And so even Jesus learned this way. Well, next, give an opportunity to hear through remembering God's goodness. Look at verse 7, and this is a long section. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you build houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there is no water. He brought water from you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you might say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me all this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Listen, we're supposed to learn to hear God by remembering his goodness, remembering what it is that he's already granted to us, and then being thankful for it, which I believe will pull us right back into relationship with him, where our desire would be to express our love to him and to hear him speak to us through his word, because it was obeying his word that brought about all the blessing in the first place. Saints, if you want to understand why some of the things have happened even in our nation, I believe you're reading about the United States in so many ways. We're blessed. By the way, we are still one of the most blessed nations on the face of the earth. But as a people, we have left the God of our forefathers. And by the way, they weren't perfect. I'm not trying to tell you that our forefathers were perfect. They made errors. They made mistakes. It cost us greatly for those mistakes. But saints, you also need to grasp this. We've been blessed beyond measure. We have things the rest of the world could only dream about. And yet, what has our nation done? We've forgotten God. We've left God. In fact, there is a growing swell of support in our nation to basically throw God out and have little or nothing to do with him. Since 1973, we've not given a rip about the unborn. Oh, we've killed them indiscriminately. The very blessing of God given to us, we've done. And then we've just turned in ways that you can't imagine. And one of the things that God said, look, there's an opportunity for you to hear through remembering the goodness of God. Remember what God's given us. Remember the goodness that God has given to each and every one of us. Begin to relate what blessings you have, what amazing things we have. And let it remind us that it was not our hand, it was not our ability to do these things. Were it not for the grace of God that gave us the ability to make wealth so that he might confirm his covenant and bring blessing to us and bring blessing to our fathers even as it is this day. The next one is beginning in verse 19, and it's that we're given a warning to hear by watching the nations. Look at verse 19. It shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish. Because you would not, and here it comes, saints, listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Is it important that we hear God? Oh, absolutely. You know, saints, there are people that are kind of like, well, why are things so bad in other parts of the world? I'll tell you, a lot of times it's because of this. And we're beginning to experience some of this in our own country now that we've ignored God and we're just going to kind of go our own way. If you want to know where we're going, take a look at Venezuela. Take a look at Venezuela. They embrace socialism with all of their hearts, and it has destroyed their nation. And what's amazing is more and more our country is deciding, I think socialism will be okay. You know, I think it's fine for the government to seize all the means of production and for the government to decide how much everybody's going to get of something. Which, by the way, in every case where socialism has ever existed, except for the ruling class lives like they're rich people that have no end to their wealth. Saints, it is a dangerous thing. But we need to look at lands that reject God, look at lands that reject Him and reject His hand, and we need to look at them and realize they're perishing. Lands are being destroyed before our eyes. And we should learn from that. Because I want you to know that the Scriptures actually in praise says that we should praise the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He's going to judge the nations in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now, what I want is not to watch a lot of people get judged. That's why I believe God tells us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. By the way, He also says take it across the street. Because you may have neighbors that don't know Jesus. And they desperately need to hear it. But saints, we need to begin to wake up to watching the nations and hearing the warning of God that was given to us. We will perish like the nations that the Lord made to perish before you because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. And therefore, we need to hear. And we have all these opportunities to learn. Every time we see the Word of God, we have an opportunity to bone up on what it means to hear God. Every time we experience a humbling need, we have an opportunity to seek Him and to hear God. Every time we have a moment where God is bringing discipline into our lives, either as a corrective or as just training, we have an opportunity to hear God. Every time we see His goodness that's been given to us and given to our land, we have an opportunity to respond in thanksgiving and hear God afresh. And every time we watch the destruction of the nations and watch people who reject God and watch what begins to happen to their country, we have an opportunity to hear God. But we need to have ears that hear. We're going to get into this more next week. Now, what's interesting is it's also how God watched His, or taught His Son. Luke 22, 39 says, He came out and proceeded as was His custom to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed Him. And when He arrived at the place, He said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And He withdrew to them about a stone throw, and He knelt down and He began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus began to look at what it meant to obey God, and yet He was also, it said, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He saw the nations. He looks, and it wasn't that He wanted to experience the cross. It was for the joy that was set before Him, because of the cross, the gospel would go to the nations. And the destruction and the perishing of the nations would be stemmed because of the gospel going to the nations through His people and because of God and His wonderful and great mercies. You know, we're also given the example of Christ hearing. And here's some good stuff for us to remember. The servant of the Lord was actually prophesied in Isaiah, beginning in verse 49, going all the way through chapter 49, going all the way through chapter 53, we begin to see this character again and again, the servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, and we learn about Him. We learn who He is. We learn that He loves the nations. We learn that He listens to God. We learn that He was going to be punished and He was going to be crucified. It's amazing all the things we learn about the servant of God. And in chapter 50, verse 4, the servant of the Lord is prophesied like this. It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain a weary one with the world. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple? Do I know how to hear God awaken morning by morning? Open His Word and begin to listen like a disciple. Disciple means a learner. A disciple means somebody who's committed to learning and knowing God. And what happened was, it was said of the servant of the Lord that this is what he was going to be. He was going to be that one that knows how to, that has the tongue of one that's learned as a disciple, but one who could sustain a weary one with the word. And he would be a one who would awake morning by morning and listen as a disciple. Now, this is fascinating because we see the servant of the Lord prophesied in Isaiah 50, but then we see the servant of the Lord fulfilled in Mark chapter 1. Look at Mark chapter 1, verses 35, or write it down in your notes. I'm going to have to kind of keep moving. It says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." Let me tell you what happened just prior to that. Jesus had his first day of ministry. And he went and he taught at a synagogue, and they tried to throw him off a cliff. And then you find him, went later to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick on a bed and couldn't help serve. And he went over to her and he prayed for her, laid hands on her. She wound up being healed, got up, began serving them. Then later in the day, as night approached, the whole city was gathered at his door, or the whole town was gathered at his door. And there were people that were demon-possessed, and there were people that were sick. And Jesus cast out many demons, and he healed people from all of their various sicknesses. And so it finally came to the point where all that was done, and they went to bed for the night. And the disciples, I mean, these guys who had signed up with Jesus early on were thinking, man, revival in our house. Can you imagine what tomorrow's going to be like? And like Peter would look over at you know, some of the guys that are better at building, and he said, we need a building program. We need to make this thing bigger. We need to get more seats so we can have more people sit here. And tomorrow, Jesus is going to do more of like what he did today. And they had all their plans, and they had all their ideas. And then they woke up, and Jesus wasn't anywhere to be found. Because a good while before the sun even crept above the horizon, Jesus had gone off to a lonely, secluded place where he wouldn't be interrupted, and he met with his Father. And he said to his Father, good night last night. Lord, what do I do today? How do I love you today? What is it you want me to do today? Jesus said, I don't do anything unless it's what I hear my Father saying. That's what I say. And what I see my Father doing, that's what I do. And by the way, he went and he got it daily. And so the disciples, you can imagine these guys are like, where is he? I mean, I'm figuring what? You know, they're looking at each other. Maybe about noon that the crowds are going to start gathering. We need to get, you know, we haven't got this together. And they're looking for Jesus. Finally, they come upon Jesus. And they say to Jesus, you know, everybody's looking for you. And we'd like to deliver. Wouldn't hurt us too bad to deliver the goods. Jesus looks at him and says, it's going to go somewhere else, to the towns that are nearby, because that's what the Father's commanded me to do. That's what I was sent to do. And Jesus leaves what seems to be a place where he could have just built a whole headquarters. And he listens to his Father instead and goes on and ministers. Remember Philip? Philip was in the middle of a revival. In the New Testament, Philip was preaching in the middle of a revival. And the Spirit of God says, hey, Philip. Because Philip's listening to his Father. And the Father says, I want you to go wander out in the middle of the desert. How many of you would think, that must be the devil? We got revival going on here, and I got something saying, go out in the desert. You know, Philip kind of thought, I mean, I'm going to impose on Philip. My guess is Philip knew that voice. He knew the voice of his Father from being with him. And so Philip, up and started walking in the desert. And I'm sorry, but we just so religiousize things. And I imagine Philip's just wandering in the desert. I guess it's great, Lord. I'm doing what you want me to do. And suddenly he gets an idea when he sees a chariot go by, and he's thinking, oh, there's somebody out here who needs Jesus. Boom! Makes it off to the chariot. Guy invites him up in the chariot, and here he is with Queen Candace's treasurer, sharing the gospel in a chariot. And what to his amazing ears does he hear? The guy's not reading a novel, he's reading Isaiah 53. And he says, who's the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else? Philip goes, I know! And he tells him about Jesus. And the guy wants to get baptized right there. And he baptizes him. When he comes out of the water, the Lord takes him somewhere else. There's something awesome about the fact that Jesus was willing to get up. He didn't just let what was going on tell him what the will of God was. He didn't let his own thinking about, well, this looks pretty good. I think I ought to do the same tomorrow and the next day and the next day. He wanted to make sure he was with his Father. He wanted to make sure that he was hearing what God wanted him to do. And then he sought him, and as he came back, he knew what he was supposed to do. You know, but then it has its ultimate fulfillment. Because, you know, Isaiah 50 goes on past those verses I read. You want to hear Isaiah 50 in its context? He awakens me morning by morning, right? Then it says in verse 5, the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. By the way, that term, open my ear, has the idea of put an awl in his ear. He opened his ear because that was that servant who said, I will serve my master. I will give up my freedom. He's able to go free, but he said, I don't want to be free. I want to be your slave for life. And it says, God opened his ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. In verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I didn't cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. That's the servant of the Lord. He does God's will when it costs him everything. He does God's will when it looks all rosy and awesome. And he does God's will when it means his beard's going to be plucked out, and he's going to be struck in the face, and he's going to be spit upon and mocked. Because he knows he is fulfilling what his Father wants done. You know, the ultimate manifestation of that was the last chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus Christ submits himself. Father, not my will, but yours be done. And then he goes to the first trial, and then he goes to the second trial, and he's beaten, and he's hit in the face, and he's scourged. And he carries his own cross until he falls under the weight of it. And then he goes up to Golgotha, and he's stretched out upon the cross, and he even screams in the midst of it, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Knowing, though, that it had to take that for sin to be paid for. And he died. And he rose from the dead. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, when we listen to God, when we hear him, and we'll get into this next week, there is this idea of we're there listening because we want to know what it is that God wants done. I wrote something on my Facebook the other day because I'm reading a book by Henry Blackaby. And one of the things was, you know, a lot of us seek God because we want to know how we'll be revealed. And it's like this, God's not about revealing us. He's about revealing himself in us. God doesn't want to reveal more of you. And I'm just going to say this, knowing who I am, do we really want more of that revealed? We do a good job of hiding it and dressing it up so it looks cute, but it ain't. Our flesh looks horrible. You know what I need? I need to die to myself. And I need to seek him and hear him and know what it is that he wants me to do, because what I want revealed to my neighbors and to you guys is him. You have no deliverance in me. You might want to be delivered from me, but you have no deliverance in me. Saints, we desperately need him. And because of that, we desperately need to hear him. So I go into this for the application. Are we listening? I mean, it's real easy. It's not like I got some really awesome stuff here. Are you obeying the word? I guess I ought to start with, are you reading the word? Are you obeying the word? Reading it? Are you responding? How are you responding to humbling need? You know how the world responds a lot to humbling need and discipline and problems? There was a God in the world, he'd stop all this. Here's what's crazy. I don't know about you, but just a little bit earlier, I was reading Deuteronomy. Did you see what he said? I brought you into those times. Did you hear what it said about Jesus? It said the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Oh no, maybe a health, wealth, and prosperity message isn't scriptural. Maybe he actually does take us into times of testing and difficulty and trial and humbling need. Why? So that he can just kind of go, I'm God and you're not. Ha ha ha. No. The heart of our Father is this. Oh, I want to show myself mighty on your behalf. I want you to know me. I want you to know me in a way that will blow your mind and will blow the minds of others who are around you so that they'll ask you, who in the world is this God you're following? Because you have the same junk going on in your life as I have in mine. Difficulties, trials, problems, things that are happening, needs. But you seem to have some joy and it seems like God's walking you through these things. Who is it that you're following? What they normally watch is us doing our best to give our best ideas and our best thoughts on how to get us out of our own problems. That's called government. And look how that's working. Or not working. By the way, regardless of who's in there. We have to humble ourselves and cry out to God. That's where it starts. It starts with wanting to hear him. How are we responding to humbling need? How are we responding to discipline? When God straightens, not just God maybe saying, hey, you did this wrong, stop doing that. Yes, that's discipline. But there may be times where God says, hey, others may, you cannot. You may look at the rest of the world and the rest of the world's just diving into this stuff. It is not good for you to dive into this stuff. I'm going to give you a much more straightened path. By the way, saints, this is called preaching holiness. It used to actually happen in churches. And God says, here's the holy way that I would like you to walk. And I want you to do this. Responding to blessing, being reminded by the nations. And then just this question, are we listening daily? In our busyness, in our desperate need of direction? Are we listening because there's nothing more important than God? And I'm going to do this quickly, but there was a day in the scriptures in John where Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Jesus was speaking at the house and Mary was on the front row. I don't know if it says she was on the front row. I believe she's on the front row, okay? Doesn't mean the front row is any holier than any other row, okay? But, I mean, Mary was just like, I don't want any distractions. And she's sitting there just drinking in everything that Jesus is saying, and Martha is going crazy because she's got to put a spread on that's going to impress Jesus and everybody else. And then Martha finally gets to the point where she's mad. She just says, Jesus, you want to talk to Mary? Because she's not helping. She's left me to serve all by myself. See, now she's not only a really great servant, but now she's also the martyr. And then Jesus looks at Martha. He says, Martha, you are worried and distracted by so many things. Only a few are necessary. Really, only one. And Mary's chosen the part that won't be taken from her. Now, I don't want to spend the rest of time because I'd like to have a brief invitation. Do you realize that when Jesus got ready to start telling people he was going to die, that Peter said, there's no way you're going to do this. To the point where Jesus had to look at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God. You have in mind the things of men. What did Mary do? Mary took a pound of the costliest perfume and she anointed Jesus for burial. Somebody was listening. Cost her everything she had. That was her dowry. She was saying, I'll never get married like a normal person. She poured it on Jesus. And they criticized her for it. Why the waste? By the way, who led the criticism? Anybody know? Judas, who had the money box and who was taking his cut off the top and then in the middle and then as close as he could get to the bottom. But she was criticized. She was the only one that prepared him for his burial. She was the one that was listening. By the way, it also means if you listen, you might be misunderstood. Might even be criticized. Might even have people say, lavishing your life on Jesus. Come on. I mean, yeah, I understand there's God and all that, but you have to have balance. No, pour your life out for Christ. If he's leading you by Spirit, give it all away. It's amazing what it means to listen. We'll find out more, and we'll get into some practicalities. But saints, that's just awesome. So you have some things this week. Open the Word, listen. If you're experiencing a humbling need, listen. If you've got discipline, listen. And you say, Pastor, how do I do that? Here's what I did. I talked to a guy like most of the day Friday. And he's in a mess. He's really in a mess. Doesn't go here. Doesn't even live in this area. And I finally just told him, I said, look, I don't have answers for all these things that you're asking. I really don't. But I know this. Your greatest need is to cry out to God and get things right with him. Your greatest need is that your life would be his. You'd be amazed at how many things he can work out when your life is his. And you begin following that direction he begins giving you. And the guy said, well, how do I do it? And I said, I don't know. Cry out. Just cry out to him. He said, I'll send you some sin sheets. I'll send you some other stuff that may help. I'll send you some righteousness sheets. My sin sheets start with sin and they end with righteousness, where you're reading all the things you are in Christ. But you know what? You got to get all that junk out of you that ain't. And so I just said, here's the thing. Just start crying out. Just start telling him you need his help. Just tell him you're messed up. Tell him you're really messed up. And just cry out to him. I said, there may be a point where you just start weeping and it doesn't stop for an hour or more. That might not happen, but you need to cry out to God. And it was cool because when it was over with, he said, I think I'm going to do that. And I said, man, that's awesome. Because I think that's where it starts. If you want a 10-step path so that you can go all the way through it and say, I checked them all off, I don't think this is for you. Because I think, honestly, he wants us to know him. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. And so my prayer is that hopefully this will help us in this process. And hopefully what we'll do this week is say to God, let me have ears to hear. Let me start hearing you in all these circumstances instead of running off into something else. Maybe that's what he wants this week. Joel, why don't you come up and with the team? We're just going to have a brief opportunity to respond. Saints, you may be at a point where if you're at this point, you may be like me. I'm struggling with just, God, I need to hear you better. I need to hear you more consistently. And I've started reading his word more. I've started trying to spend some time in some things that will help and hopefully give me some encouragement. But honestly, if you want to know where I am, I'm at that point where it's cry out to God and begin crying out to him saying, I need to have a heart that hears you all the time. In all these things that I just saw, like my Lord Jesus Christ, where it's the most important thing in the world to me, that I walk with you, that I know you, that I have a heart to know, eyes to see, and ears to hear. Amen. Let's stand together, have an opportunity to sing, and I'll be up at the front if anybody needs to pray and wants to pray with someone. You always know this set of stairs is an altar. And you can do this at your seats. But I just encourage you to respond. By the way, if you're lost, I'll tell you how you can get saved. Okay? Share with you how you can get saved. And if you need someone just to pray with you about something, please come. We'll be happy to pray with you. Joel.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God speak.
Hungry for your presence. We're hungry for the reality that you are God, the reality that you work in the lives of those who love you. Lord, we want to receive your commands. We want to receive all that you want to do to train us to respond to you and listen in the midst of what is happening in our lives. Cry out to you, Lord. Search your word. Be in your presence. Seek your face. Lord, turn a listening and a hearing ear toward you, that we might know your will, that we might know your heart, that we might know you. God, I pray that you will bless us as we go from here. Lord, magnify the Lord Jesus in our lives. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And God, I pray, just as we turn, God, would you be ever so gracious, that by your Spirit, through your word, you will speak. And we will know you. And we will follow you. We ask all this, Lord, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.